The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Our text for this Reformation Day is from the fourth chapter of the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the sixth and the 16th through the 18th verses. For it is God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. It's now been 500 years, half a millennium, since the beginning of the Reformation in the little town of Wittenberg on the eve of All Saints' Day in the year of our Lord, 1517. When the Lutheran Church celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Reformation in 1617, Germany was fast approaching one of the most terrible wars in history, the 30 Years' War. It was a war in which about 8 million soldiers and civilians in Central Europe died in battle and from famine and from disease. Some towns and villages lost more than half of their population. It's in fact hard to exaggerate the devastation caused by that terrible bloodbath. 200 years later, in the year 1817, much of Europe was still recovering from the terrible Napoleonic Wars, which had again plunged the nations of Europe into an ocean of blood and tears. 100 years later, in 1917, a bloody conflict then in its fourth year had yet again plunged the nations into an ocean of blood and tears. That distinguished Lutheran pastor and theologian, Hermann Sasse, was then a sergeant in the German Kaiser's army. And he remembered how on the rainy morning of Reformation Day, 1917, the military chaplains had conducted services before the troops went into battle. Out of more than 100 men in Sergeant Sasse's company, less than 10 returned alive. And now, as we celebrate this 506th anniversary of the Reformation, we again find ourselves living in deeply troubled times. For more than a year and a half now, the people of Ukraine have suffered a brutal invasion of their land, with thousands killed and wounded, both soldiers and civilians, and thousands more driven from their homes and turned into refugees. At the convention of our synod this past summer in Milwaukee, the bishop of the Ukrainian Lutheran Church gave to our synod a bullet-damaged helmet that he'd worn while trying to minister to his people in that war-torn land. And now there's been the unspeakably brutal attack by Hamas on innocent Israelis, and all the carnage that's followed, including an all but unimaginable humanitarian crisis in Gaza. And as if that were not enough, our country has yet again suffered a mass shooting which has left 18 innocent people dead and countless others traumatized. The perpetrator of this unspeakable evil apparently having committed suicide. And besides all this, there's the troubled state of Christendom, in which churches which were once untouched by the fashionable heresies of the day are now themselves struggling with denial of the revealed truth of God. In all of this, we see the work of sin and death and the devil, despite the fact that the modern world considers Satan a harmless, even comical myth, not to be taken seriously in these allegedly enlightened times. But how can anyone look at what is taking place before our eyes and yet fail to see that what Dr. Luther has to say about Satan in his great hymn, A Mighty Fortress, is nothing but the sober truth? The old evil foe now means deadly woe. Deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal. But then Luther goes on to say, with might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever. That is the gospel, the good news of salvation through the life and death and resurrection of God's only and eternal Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. and in what may well be the most important of the 95 theses he proposed on the eve of All Saints' Day, 1517, Dr. Luther had this to say: "The true treasure of the Church is the most holy gospel of the glory and grace of God. The true treasure of the Church is the most holy gospel of the glory and the grace of God." But as long as this world stands, Christ's victory remains a hidden victory. And so it was when the eternal Son of the Father was born in a stable of a humble virgin mother, as he grew up in the obscurity of the village of Nazareth, as in his ministry he had no place to lay his head, and was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, rejected and accused of being possessed by a demon, betrayed by a friend, unjustly accused and condemned, nailed to a Roman cross, and buried in a borrowed grave. In none of this could the glory of the Father's eternal Son be seen with the eyes of the body, but only with eyes of faith. And as it was then, so it is now. No one can see the glory of Christ's mystical body, the Church, nor her unity, nor her holiness. Instead, the world scornfully sees the Church by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed. Though, as St. John saw in his vision while on the island of Patmos, the saints in paradise their watch are keeping, their cry goes up, "How long?" And soon the night of weeping will be the morn of song. But for the time being, the Church's glory is a hidden glory. For only at that last and final appearing in glory of the risen Lord will the Church be seen as Christ's mystical body, his spotless bride. But for now, we walk by faith and not by sight, and we are all of us, without exception, called to repentance, not for the sins of other people, but for our own. In the very first of his 95 theses, Dr. Luther says, "When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ says, 'Repent,' he means that the whole life of Christians should be one of repentance. I cannot repent for you. You cannot repent for me. Just as I cannot believe for you, you cannot believe for me. But through the means of grace, the preaching of the gospel and the holy sacraments, the Holy Spirit graciously bestows the gift of saving faith in Jesus our Savior, just as we learn to say in the Catechism, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, in which Christian church he daily and richly forgives my sins and the sins of all believers, and will on the last day raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to all believers. And we joyfully add, this is most certainly true. This world is in so many ways a dark and frightening place. But God, who caused light to shine out of darkness in the very beginning, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of his glory in the thorn-crowned face of Jesus Christ. So we do not lose heart, because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.